The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. And let's start off with a very, 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 very serious issue. Is a hot dog a sandwich? We attempt to settle the debate. Hot dog, wiener, frankfurter, call it what you want, but according to some culinary experts, you shouldn't call it a sandwich. Does God exist? Are we alone in the universe? What came first, the chicken or the egg? All important questions in the kind of murky hypotheticals that inspire rigorous debate in the hallowed halls of universities, at dinner tables, on the internet, and, of course, after a few drinks in and at a party. And for the past decade, another contentious thought experiment has kept inquiring minds up at night, making memes and arguing in the furnace reaches of Reddit. Is it a hot dog, a sandwich? To be frank, Furter, it's one of the many wiener-related queries that boggle the mind. Why are there always 8 hot dog buns in a pack when hot dogs are sold in packs of 10? Even more basic is, what are hot dogs made of? For the purposes of this article, we'll skip other debates and food facts trivia to remain hyper-focused on whether the hot dog belongs in the same category as BLTs, clubs, pastrami sandwiches, and Reubens. We grilled experts from both sides of the grocery aisle to see if we could reach a consensus on the stadium staple status. But first, a bite or a bit of history. Who invented the hot dog? Much like the "is a hot dog a sandwich" question, the birthplaces of many foods, this inquiry is hotly contested according to the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, believe it or not, there is such a thing, NHDSC. The city of Frankfurt, Germany, usually takes credit for the invention of the Frankfurter and even celebrated the food's 500th birthday in 1987. The foodies of Vienna, Austria, assert they are the originators of the hot dog and use the fact that we call it a Wiener as their proof. After all, the city is called Wien in the Austrian-German language, that's W-I-E-N. Others claim a popular sausage called a Dachshund, little dog, was invented by butcher Johann Corihana in the late 1600s in Coburg, Germany. But the hot dog as we know it likely evolved from common sausages brought to American shores by generations of immigrant butchers from a variety of European countries. Why is it called a hot dog? Also disputed is how the wiener came to be called a hot dog. The most likely scenario, according to the NHDSC, is that it started with Johann's canine-inspired nickname for the long, skinny Frankfurters. It traveled to America with Germans in the 1800s and then got anglicized over the years. The word hot dog started appearing in college magazines in the 1890s. In 1894, there's a record of dog wagons selling hot dogs to dorm dwellers, and there was a joke about what the meaty tubes were made of. But there is another story about how the term was coined. It's more fun to tell it through, though likely made up. In that recounting, vendors were selling hot dogs at New York Polo Grounds in 1901 and saying things like, "Get your dachshund sausages while they're red hot." Supposedly, a popular New York Journal cartoonist, Tad Dorgan, witnessed the scene and drew a cartoon with barking sausages in rolls. He didn't know how to spell dachshund, so he simply called it a hot dog. Identity and validity of that origin story? According to the NHDSC, historians have been able to locate the cartoon. What is a sandwich? This is the thrux of the thing. Two important definitions likely sparked the "is a hot dog a sandwich" conversation. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines a sandwich as two or more slices of bread or a split roll having a filling in between, as well as one slice of bread covered with food. That second bit helps make sense in open-faced sandwiches, but also opens the door for yet another quandary. Is a pizza a sandwich? That's an even more controversial topic with no definitive answer. The U.S. Department of... I gotta admit, this is funny. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, the USDA, describes a sandwich as two slices of bread or the top and bottom sections of a sliced bun that enclose meat or poultry. When food experts try to nail down whether or not hot dogs are sandwich, they refer back to the USDA's wording. Why is a hot dog technically a sandwich? According to the official definition, a hot dog is a sandwich. Using loose interpretations of the USDA's definition, Rich Hope, chief marketing officer at sandwich chain Jersey Mike's, says, "There are so many ways to do sandwiches. So sure, Hot dogs can be sandwiches, just not hot sub sandwiches. Because a hot dog is a meat flanked by bread and smears with condiments like ketchup and mustard, which sounds a lot like a sandwich, it's easy to see why people in this camp have a leg to hot dog stand on. It's also why over at Applegate, a company that offers lunch meat, American cheese singles for sandwiches and some of the best hot dogs in the market, employees relish the opportunity to regularly debate whether a hot dog is a sandwich, according to senior brand manager Gina Gengachiva. We have employees on both sides, she says. Based on the current definition set by the USDA, yes, a hot dog is technically a sandwich. However, the majority of us, including myself, believe in our hearts that a hot dog is not a sandwich. She notes that the USDA's limited terminology is problematic and rules out large swaths of sandwich family, including peanut butter and jelly. If we went by the USDA and beloved grilled cheese would not qualify, she says, and what about vegetarian or vegan sandwiches that are absent meat or poultry? Why is a hot dog not really a sandwich? While most experts were hesitant to put their foot down on the side of the debate, those in favor of letting hot dogs out of the sandwich category were far more adamant. A hot dog is its own unique thing, a cylindrically shaped protein that sits in a bun and not a sandwich, says Phil McCam, vice president of marketing at Nathan's Famous, the Coney Island institution that hosts the annual 4th of July hot dog eating contest. A hot dog certainly is deserved of its own category, the same way a burger deserves its own. Sandwiches have their own category as well, and that category does not include hot dogs or burgers. Joey Chestnut, the 14-time winner of the aforementioned contest, took to Twitter in 2017 to affirm that he doesn't endure these gross realities of competitive eating for just any old witch. It's National Hot Dog Day. As president, I want to be known as a hot dog stands free and independent from the tyranny of the sandwich. Given that Americans spent more than $7.5 billion at U.S. markets on dogs and sausages in 2021, Eric Mittenhall, president of the NHDSC, a.k.a. Hot Dog's Top Dog, argues that Franks have outgrown generic sandwich classification. Perhaps, at one time, its importance could be limited by forcing it into a larger sandwich category, but that time has passed. Saying it's just a sandwich is like calling the Dalai Lama just a guy. It's a matter of bread. Mittenhall also argues that to qualify as a sandwich, there must be a bread component. It's called a hot dog when it's on a bun. It's called a hot dog when it's not, he says. The bun is irrelevant to the nature of the hot dog. Therefore, it is not a sandwich. It's a matter of history. McCann points out that it's an issue of semantics. The sandwich was supposedly invented in 1762 by John Montagu, the 4th Earl of Sandwich. He requested that sliced meat be placed between two slices of bread, which he could eat with his hands. That is not the definition of a hot dog, McCann says. What's more, if the sandwich is invented in 1762, why wouldn't they have called the hot dog a sandwich when it was invented 100 years later, if it was a sandwich? It's a matter of language. Lest you think this is some sort of East Coast anti-sandwich alliance, we sought out Richard Pink, the owner of Pink's Hot Dogs, to get his take. His Frankfurter-focused restaurant has been a Los Angeles landmark since his parish started the joint in 1939. Incidentally, the city's residents consume more hot dogs than any other in the United States, a whopping 30 million pounds a year. He agrees that it is a matter of accepted linguistics. In common parlance and practice, at least in America, if you asked people to tell you what a hot dog is, they would not describe a sandwich. And if you asked them to define a sandwich, no one would say, a tubular piece of meat that fits into a bun, Pink says. If someone came to Pink's and said, I want a sandwich, we'd politely say, we don't serve those. We have hot dogs and hamburgers. So, is a hot dog a sandwich? After talking to experts, we're no closer to declaring this discourse solved. We can, however, put to rest the question of whether a hot dog is a taco. The definitive answer is no. The Michigan dish requires filling to be surrounded by a tortilla. And for every pro that voted no, another with hot dog skin in the game weighed in on the other side of the philosophical spectrum, just as Oscar Mayer did back in 2018. The company posted on social media that hot dogs are sandwiches. Then it opened a hotline for naysayers to try to convince them otherwise. Even regular Joes and Janes remained hotly divided. The NHDC has done several surveys over the year, and usually the results are roughly 60-40 in favor of hot dogs and hoagies not being related. Mendenthal notes that in the most recent poll taken in 2021, just over half of all respondents said they don't believe dogs belong in the sandwich category. He's dubious the nation even wants to stop parlaying about whether a hot dog is a sandwich or not. Hot dogs are a beloved American food, and a hearty debate is an American tradition, he says. It's fun to talk about. The debate has raged for years and shows no sign of letting up. Our suggestion, forget the definition and simply enjoy the dish. Squeeze on some ketchup or mustard, top with relish or go wild with chili, peppers and onions, bacon or sauerkraut, then in place an order of French fries for one of the most American meals of all times. And don't forget that putting ketchup on a hot dog is a sacrilege. That's me. I'm putting that in myself because that's true. You don't put ketchup on a hot dog. You put it on a hamburger. And now, how about best pet pals? We're not talking about hot dogs either. Porkchop, a.k.a. Ernestine. One day I noticed an animal near the woods in my house. It wasn't a skunk, a possum, or a fox. In fact, it didn't seem to have fur at all. Weeks later, I got a clear view of the critter, a big pink pig. I couldn't imagine how a pig had strayed into our suburb, but she decided to move in. I left a bucket of water out, which she drank politely at first, but then dumped to make a mud puddle. Soon she was seen wandering the neighborhood with her new bestie, a black dab named Harley. Neighbor set up a pig spotting page on Facebook, where we posted photos and videos of Porkchop, as we named her. Eventually, the signs began causing traffic jams. We learned Porkchop was a repeat escaped artist from a local fawn. By now, the farmer thought her more trouble than she was worth. A nearby hobby farm was happy to give Porkchop a new home, and even a new name, Ernestine. 2 years later, Ernestine is thriving with ample friends, food, and mud to wallow in. And as the town's most famous resident, she even gets afloat in Heron Spring Parade. She was nominated by Joanne Clayton. How about some life in these United States? I can't do small talk. Just ask the lady cutting my hair what she does for a living. Ah, married life. While shopping for vacation clothes, my husband and I passed a display of bathing suits. It had been at least 10 years and 20 pounds since I'd even considered buying a bathing suit. So I sought my husband's advice. What do you think, I asked him. Should I get a bikini or an all-in-one? Better get a bikini, he replied. You never get it all in one. Oh, that's terrible. During and after filming in that Netflix movie Don't Look Up, actor Jonah Hill took to calling his co-star, three Academy Award winner Meryl Streep, the GOAT. The 17-year-old Streep took it all in stride. I thought, well, that's cute. I am kind of an old goat, she said during a press conference. It was up to another younger co-star, Jennifer Lawrence, to explain to Streep that Hill wasn't being mean. The GOAT, Lawrence told Streep, stands for Greatest of All Time. A lot of people texting audio messages these days. I fear it's a slippery slope to going back to phone calls. Mamma mia! Let's all wish moms a happy Mother's Day. We kind of missed that. I'm sorry about that. After all, look at what they put up with. No one is as glued to any piece of reading material as a parent counting down the songs in the program for a school concert. My 6-year-old, I figured out the password to the tablet and bypassed the parental controls to download all my shows. Also, my 6-year-old, help, I put both my legs in the same pant hole and now I'm stuck. My 10-year-old, Grandma, can you teach Mom how to make this dessert? My mom, oh, she already knows how to make it, sweetie. My 10-year-old, no, she doesn't. In case you were wondering, the loudest sound in the world is my kid screaming, are you pooping? In a public restroom. You're ugly. No, you're ugly. My identical twins fighting. We found a fix. Helps, hacks, and how to. Number one, put your plastic cups to work. If you find yourself playing bartender at a cookout or tailgate party, use the lines on those red plastic cups to help keep good times flowing. The bottom line indicates 1 ounce. That's a modest shot of liquor or a modest shot of liquor for a celebratory round or a cocktail measurement. The second line from the bottom is 5 ounces. Hello, a crisp serving of wine or summer sangria. The third is 12 ounces, one cheer for one beer, please. And for the teetotalers, 1 ounce of grenadine, 5 ounces of Sprite, and some ice mix to make a simple, refreshing Shirley Temple. Two, a hair dryer that won't blow it. Why ruin the peace of after morning shower with a racket of a blow dryer, just because towel dry won't do the job in time? Fold that time in half by wrapping your mane in a, not in a cotton towel, but a microfiber one. It will wick away moisture 40% faster. Number 3, flight tracker. For all your phone-owning jet setters, message your airport pickup the airline flight number, e.g. Trusted Airlines 1922. Then your ride can tap on the iMessage text to the automatically open the flight tracker display takeoff and arrival times, terminal and gate assignments, and even the flight status to anticipate any delays instead of waiting in the dark on the cell phone lot. Number 4, permanent tiki torch holders. Wrestling tiki torches into the ground only to pick them up after every stiff breeze? Here's a sturdy solution. Grab PVC piping from the hardware store and cut it into 5-inch lengths with a handsaw. Drive pipes into the grass until the openings are ground level, clearing away any dirt inside. You can then slide the torches in and out with ease, and they'll withstand the wind. Number 5, cooking. A new twist on an old favorite. Before putting bacon on the baking sheet to cook it in the oven, hold each strip vertically and twist it. Turning the strips into twists guarantees ultra-crisp baking every time. No more gnawing through the floppy sections to get to the triggered crunchiness. Plus, it's a space saver that allows you to fit more in the pan. And they've got a picture here. It looks kind of cool. Number 6, cleaning. Shine a light on broken glass. Next time you break a glass, not that we're betting against you, we're just betting on gravity, get all the big pieces out of the way and then cut the lights. Shining a flashlight at floor level will make even the tiniest shards glisten. Then you can gather them with a wet paper towel instead of the bottom of your foot. Number 7. I knew this one. Pay off your mortgage faster. Certified personal financial counselor Andrew Latham suggests a smart way to get on your mortgage. Make payments biweekly instead of monthly. By paying half your monthly mortgage every 2 weeks, you'll sneak 13 payments into a year, helping pay off principal faster and decrease overall interest. On a $200,000 mortgage with a 30-year term and 5% interest rate, you can save $34,724 in interest and repay the mortgage nearly 5 years early, says Latham. That's kind of cool. Auto. I've never seen the numbers. I knew that was a good idea, but I've never seen the numbers. Number 8. Auto. Putting on the tire pressure. Sometimes there's a direct link between the pressure and the blood pressure of drivers across the country. When you neglect to check one, it actually raises the other. So in addition to checking your tires monthly, inflate them to the recommended PSI listing on the car maker's decal, found in your driver's door jamb or in the owner's manual, not the PSI printed on the tire. Tire pressure is based on weight of your vehicle, not on the tire brand or tread style. Humor in uniform. My son was stationed in Korea, and I couldn't stop thinking about him. So I baked a batch of his favorite cookies, packed them in a shoebox, wrapped the box, and sent it halfway around the world. When he came home on leave, I asked him if he'd enjoy the cookies. He gave me a quizzical look and said, "Mom, you sent me your red shoes." Oh, June Chilton, Raleigh, North Carolina. "Son, when the Marine Corps wants you to have a wife, you will be issued one." Marine Corps Lieutenant General Chesty Puller, 1998-1971. To a Marine who asked permission to be married. I've heard that line myself, being a Marine. It's not news that seasoned Marines like to have fun with newbies. I had landed on a mess hall duty when my sergeant ordered me to double time and over to another mess hall on base, ask for a much-needed item, and bring it back pronto. After he told me what it was, I ran off, eager to fulfill my mission. When I arrived, I repeated my order to the sergeant in charge. "I'm here to pick up 3 feet of salad bar." It took a while before I realized what they were laughing about. I tell you what, we Marines were terrible to be on everybody. Okay. Now, here's something that you don't think much of unless you're a big hot dog or Reuben eater, and that's sauerkraut. Food for thought, beyond sauerkraut. It's often said that sauerkraut originated not in Germany, not in Austria, and not in a baseball stadium, but rather in China during the construction of the Great Wall. As is widely reported, yet fully unconfirmed story goes, the builders subsisted on rice and cabbage, dousing the latter with rice wine to preserve it all winter long, which also made it sour. While the real origin story remains unknown, what we do know is that the concept arose from wintertime need to preserve produce, back when refrigeration wasn't a thing. As for the name, that does come from Germany. It simply means sour cabbage. The key to making sauerkraut is lacto-fermentation. which is what happens when you take cabbage and pack it with salt. This creates an environment hostile to the microbes that would normally come along and cause the food to rot. Lactobacillus, a type of probiotic, good bacteria, found naturally on plants, is quite tolerant of salt. So upping the sodium stacks the deck in its favor. The salt draws water out of the vegetable, creating a brine, and the lactobacillus bacteria, thriving in their salty bath, eat the natural sugars in the cabbage, producing lactic acid, which is what makes sauerkraut sour, as a byproduct. And viola, the cabbage is fermented. Lactobacillus ferments other foods as well, such as old-fashioned pickles. The shelf-stable ones on the grocery store are made with vinegar instead of fermentation. And many of the Korean pickled vegetables called kimchi. And while not the same process, different species of lactobacillus also helps turn milk into yogurt and cheese. The American approach to sauerkraut, toss it on a hot dog, call it a day, springs from the European tradition of eating pickled cabbage with bratwurst and heavily smoked meats. You also find sauerkraut alongside the corned beef on a Reuben sandwich, but it works well with any rich, fatty food thanks to its cutting tartness. When you're shopping, try to get kraut from the refrigerated section. This is likely to be the fermented version that is still teeming with probiotics. Putting in the fridge slows the souring. Without this step, the kraut can get mushy and too sour. The canned stuff is pasteurized, which means it's been cooked, and all that delightfully souring bacteria is dead. And what's the fun in that? And here's a recipe. Creamy, krauty potato salad. Cut 3 pounds skin-on red potatoes, about 7 medium, into slices 1 inch thick. Place potatoes in a medium pot and cover with at least 1 inch of cold water. Season generously with salt. The water should taste slightly salty. Bring it to a simmer and cook until the potatoes are tender, but still holding their shape, about 15 minutes. Drain and let cool while the potatoes are cooking. Cut a 1 medium red onion into rings, then toss in a small mixing bowl with 1/4 cup of red wine vinegar. Let stand, stirring every few minutes until the onion rings are bright pink, about 20 minutes. Stir in 1 cup sour cream, along with 1/2 cup of drained and chopped sauerkraut, 1/2 cup of minced fresh dill, and 2 tablespoons of whole grain mustard. Season with salt and pepper. Gently stir the potatoes until slices are well coated. Season with additional salt if desired. Serve right away, or refrigerate up to 8 hours before serving. What your pet is trying to tell you. Put down your phone. This is 13 things, by the way. Animals want our attention. Sometimes they're quite overt about asking for it. Antics are often our pet's way of telling us to stop what you're doing and play with them. That's why Fido constantly chases his tail, or why Kitty keeps rolling around. A desperately bored pet may result to bad behaviors to elicit a reaction, even a negative one. Number 2. Feed me. Sure, your dog loves you, but that's not why he's licking your face. A puppy learns to lick his mother's mouth and snag a little leftover food. So Spot isn't kissing you in our sense of the word. He just wants a snack. Number 3. I'm stressed. Cat owners also misinterpret their furry friend's kisses. While a cat might lick you to show affection, sometimes she'll do it to soothe herself. One way to tell if her licking is stress-related is if it goes on for an extended period of time. Birds also overgroom when they feel anxious. Some will even pluck out their own feathers. Number 4. My tail tells all. Dogs wag their tails to the right when they see something or someone they want to approach, and to the left when they see something they want to avoid. When frightened dogs tuck their tails in, while cats wrap them around themselves, and if a tabby's tail looks like a question mark, she's itching to play, especially if the tip twitches. Number 5. Don't dismiss my accidents. A house-trained dog that suddenly goes on the carpet could simply be dehydrated, but it could also have kidney failure, liver disease, or diabetes. And a cat that sprays outside her litter box might have kidney stones or a urinary tract infection. So mention your pet's accidents to the vet, especially if they keep happening. Once you rule out a medical issue, try getting another litter box for your cat. If he keeps missing, he probably dislikes the box or wants another. Cats generally need more than one. Number 6. I can't even look at you. At some point, you've probably uttered these words to someone who made you angry. Dogs think similarly, avoiding eye contact with anyone who spoils their mood. Another sign of ire, yawning. The yawning pup may not be tired but agitated, not bored but stressed. Similarly, lip licking, when there isn't food around to trigger it, could be another sign of duress. Number 7. Let's stay in. You might think your pooch is running around the backyard having the time of his life while you're away. But the reality is that he's most likely just sitting in one spot for hours, anxiously waiting for you to return. Dogs actually prefer to be inside, ideally with their owners. Number 8, but I do need alone time. If your dog seems scared because he's hiding, say, or excessively panting, but showing no obvious signs of distress, try giving him a break from people, yourself included. Even the most attention-hungry hound can benefit from having a calm space of his own to relax in, even if it's just a crate. Number 9, take my rear end in your face as a compliment. When a cat presents you with his behind, happened to me this morning, it means he sees you as a maternal figure, since he used to do that as a kitten to get his mother to groom him. Another sure sign you run as hard is if he blinks slowly while looking at you. He isn't tired. He's showing that he's comfortable letting his guard down around you. Likewise, a dog that shows you his belly isn't just inviting a rub. Rolling over is a sign of submission, which how dogs convey trust. Number 10, my tummy hurts. If your dog arches his back while tucking his belly up, he's in pain, like a gastrointestinal discomfort, but it could also be his back. A crouching cat could also be hurting, usually in the chest or abdomen. But if a tabby tilts her head to one side, it might mean she has pain there. If any of these postures persist, have your vet help you pin down the issue. Number 11, a storm is coming. When your dog bugs out, pay attention, especially if you live near a fault line. Even if you see clear skies, your pup might be sensing barometric pressure changes or even smelling the impending rain. The Max Planck Institute of Animal Behavior found that dogs can detect earthquakes up to 20 hours ahead of time. Number 12, I might be depressed. Pets have mental health needs, too. Disinterested in food or favorite activities is a telltale sign of depression. A dog that pulls her ears back is likely to experience anxiety, although she could also be suffering from an ear infection. Mention these behaviors to your vet, and don't be afraid to ask about pet antidepressants. Number 13, but you make me so happy. When they wiggle and wag their whole bodies, your dancing dogs and bouncing bunnies are literally jumping for joy. Birds that bob up and down and cats that come when you call them are showing their appreciation for you. And when your pets put their paws on you seemingly for no reason, they're gently showing you their gratitude. Guilt by association. I understand you're angry at me, but what could possibly have against the horse I rode in on? This next article from Consumer Reports is something that we all should be concerned about, and obviously at a certain age are even more concerned than others. Save big on prescription drugs. Online pharmacies can offer meds for less than you pay elsewhere, even without using insurance. Here's what you need to know to get the best deals. Since the pandemic began, Americans have turned to online services for everything from groceries and household supplies to doctor visits, and many have also switched to online vendors to fill their prescriptions. Although established drug chains like CVS and Walgreens have long offered mail delivery service for prescriptions, some big names like Amazon have more recently jumped into the online pharmacy business. Other newcomers include GenesisRx, Honeybee Health, Rowe Pharmacy, Script Company Pharmacy, and Mark Cuban Cost Plus Drug Company. They, along with more established online pharmacies like Costco.com and HealthWarehouse.com, promise low-cost solutions to the problem of high drug prices that even insured people often face. The need is real. According to a 2021 Kaiser Family Foundation analysis, 3 in 10 adult Americans who need a prescription drug said they didn't take it as directed in the past year because the cost was too high. They split pills in half or even skipped doses in order to stretch out their meds. 1 in 6 of them didn't fill a prescription at all. The high cost is a problem, even for people who have health insurance, which can require a person to meet a drug deductible by spending $1,000 to $2,000 or more before coverage discounts begin, says Stephen Schottenheimer, Ph.D., a professor of pharmaceutical care and health systems at the University of Minnesota, or consumers are sometimes charged a percentage of drug's high price tag instead of a low copay. But the toughest problem a consumer can face is when insurance doesn't cover a drug at all, Schottenheimer says. He notes that hundreds of drugs aren't covered well, or at all, by insurance in order to manage costs. That's what happened to Nevada resident Mary Laurent. The 69-year-old retiree takes a generic version of Euloric to treat gout, which he says worked well for almost a decade. But 2 years ago, she says her insurance moved the drug to a more costly tier. So Lauren shopped around and found it on healthwarehouse.com for $117 for a 90-day supply, saving her about $75, complained with using insurance. Lawmakers seek solutions. A dozen or so bills addressing the problem of high drug costs have been introduced in Congress over the past few years. Many focus on issues around very expensive brand-name drugs. But two provisions in President Joe Biden's proposed Build Back Better Go Further, aiming to limit Medicare Part D annual out-of-pocket cost expenses to just $2,000, and capping insulin prices at $35 on most insurance plans for nearly everyone who needs it. Thank goodness for that. Meanwhile, we wanted to test drive the online sites to sample their prices and see how they compare. We shopped for a variety of common meds and scoured FAQs, e-chatted with pharmacists, and pored over the fine print to identify the upsides and potential drawbacks to using these services. If you're one of the millions of Americans filling prescriptions with generic drugs, which account for at least 90% of all meds sold in pharmacies in the U.S., and you're looking for savings wherever you can find them, see what our spot check of 8 online sellers revealed and what you need to know before you're considering ordering from one of them. In general, we found that prices at the pharmacy for the drugs we looked at were low, often less than the average of $12 copay that people with employer-provided insurance pay for generic drugs, according to figures from Kaiser. 6 of the pharmacies say they keep prices low in part by not accepting insurance. That means companies can avoid additional dispensing charges and other fees they may incur from an insurer or a middleman like pharmacy benefits manager, says Lisa Faust, PharmD, founder of DiversifyRx, a pharmacy consulting firm, and owner of multiple pharmacies in Texas and Louisiana. Zach Zeller, co-founder of ScriptCo, agrees, saying that eliminating insurance helps his company avoid the complicated rules and expenses of the insurance marketplace. The company, as well as Amazon and Costco, also keep drug prices low in part by charging membership fees. And Amazon and Costco benefit from their huge buying power. Still, there are some drawbacks to using these online services, particularly if your medications are less common. You take them infrequently, they require refrigeration or other special handling, or you need them quickly. Also, while prices at these sellers are often low, some people with good insurance may get better deals or even drugs at no cost with their insurance. One downside to paying out of pocket for your meds, whether at one of these websites or elsewhere, is that the cost typically won't go towards your insurance deductible. But check with your insurance because some allow it, Schondelmeyer says. And in California, people with insurance on file at a pharmacy who pay for drugs on their own will have the cost go toward their deductible. And here's what we found in our check of online pharmacies. Prices can be very good. At 4 of the pharmacies we looked at, Cost Plus, Genius Rx, Honey Bee, and Row Pharmacy, all 5 of the generic drugs we shopped for cost less than the average insurance copay of $12 for generics with no added fee. At 2 others, Costco and HealthWarehouse.com, at least some of the drugs cost less than that. As Amazon, all cost more than that amount, although other benefits the site offers could have made it worthwhile. Note, to take advantage of Script Company's rock-bottom prices, you need to pay a $140 annual membership. The bottom line, online pharmacies can be a great deal, especially if you take common generic drugs on a recurring basis. But it pays to compare prices at different pharmacies. You may get a bigger discounts with a multi-month supply. If you order medication for multiple months, the savings can be substantial. At Amazon, we found a 6-month supply of generic Lipitor, atorvastatin, was just $6 compared with $14.60 for a single month. At Rowe Pharmacy, a 30-day supply of generic Lipitor was $9.90, but if you order an entire year's worth, the cost is $19.80. The bottom line, if you're certain that you'll be taking the same drug at the same dosage for a reasonable future, you can realize especially big savings. But if you're unsure whether you'll be taking a drug longer than a few weeks, or if the dosage may change, buying this way is more of a gamble. That's because in most cases you won't be able to return the pills to the pharmacy for a refund, Schottelheyer says. Membership fees may cut into your savings. This is true of Amazon, where you paid a Prime membership, $139 per year, Costco, $60 per year, and ScriptCo, $140 per year, or $50 per quarter. But as a ScriptCo member, you're treated to jaw-droppingly low prices. A month's supply of generic Lipitor was just 54 cents, and no price exceeded $5 for any of the 5 sample drugs we checked. Bottom line, Membership fees may not be a big deal if you're already a Costco or Amazon Prime customer, or would enjoy the perks of membership, which include, for example, access to Costco stores nationwide, or to Amazon's TV series and movie streaming. And starting late this year, Scriptco plans to offer a household membership option that, like the regular membership plan, will have no limit on the number of drugs you can order. But unless you take medications on a regular basis, the savings might not justify the fee. Using a flexible spending or health savings account isn't always easy. FSAs and HSAs are a great way to save on medication by allowing you to use pre-tax dollars for those and other health care costs. Amazon, Costco, CostPlus, and HealthWarehouse.com make using those benefits simple. Just enter the information when you order a drug online. You can also use the accounts when you fill prescriptions at GeniusRx, but only with phone orders. With the rest, you need to pay up front and then submit your receipt to your FSA or HSA account for a refund. The bottom line, if you have a flexible spending or health savings account, it's more convenient if the pharmacy accepts payment directly from your benefits card. And some may not carry your Rx pills. Five of the sites reviewed, Scriptco, Rowe Pharmacy, Honeybee, GeniusRx, and CostPlus, were not full-service pharmacies offering comprehensive selection of medications. Instead, they focused on low-cost generic drugs. And at CostPlus, we were unable to buy pioglitazone, Actos, which is used to treat diabetes and was one of the common generics we shopped for. Mark Cuban, the billionaire who launched CostPlus, says he expects his company to expand the number of drugs we offer patients beyond just generics into thousands of brands and generic drugs. The company says it will add 900 by the end of this year alone. When it comes to insulin, only one of these five online sellers, Scriptco, offers it. Along with GeniusRx and Honeybee, it also makes some branded drug available, but may not be significant. The other three online retailers, Costco, HealthWarehouse.com, and Amazon, are full-service pharmacies where you can fill nearly any prescription, including insulin. Bottom line, if you have no fee for specialty medications and can get all the drugs you like at a single low-cost pharmacy, these online pharmacies can be a great way to save on your prescription drug cost. But think twice about ordering from these sites if you'll have to fill other prescriptions at a second or even third pharmacy, Shonda Meyer says. You may be better served by using a single full-service pharmacy that can help manage all of your medications with an eye toward possible adverse interactions instead of cherry-picking around the Internet for the lowest prices at multiple pharmacies. Make sure the site can ship to you. Only two of the online sellers we checked, Costco.com and HealthWarehouse.com, shipped to all states when we checked their websites this February and March. Three of the websites shipped to all but a single state. Amazon doesn't ship to Hawaii, CostPlus doesn't ship to North Carolina, ooh, that's interesting, and GeniusRx doesn't ship to Alabama. Honeybee and Script Company exclude a handful of states each. Rowe Pharmacy ships to the fewest states, just 37, but the company says it will be adding more to its roster this year. Bottom line, if you live in a state that currently isn't served by an online pharmacy, check the websites periodically to see whether the list have expanded. Another note, shipping isn't always fast or free. If you need a drug quickly, for example, an antibiotic to treat an infection, these sites may not be useful because the delivery is never immediate. Amazon, GeniusRx, and Rowe Pharmacy promise free delivery in 2 to 5 days. But others take longer, 7 to 10 days for free shipping from Honeybee and up to 14 days from Costco. At CostPlus, a $5 fee is charged for all shipped orders, and you'll have to wait about 7 days. If you need medication faster, expect to dig into your pocket. Priority shipping at GeniusRx is $4.99 and will get your meds to you in up to 3 business days. At CostPlus, it's $15 for expedited shipping. There may also be additional shipping costs. HealthWarehouse.com offers free shipping if you sign up for the company's e-newsletter, but it also recommends that you add a signature requirement for delivery for the additional $3.95 each time. Scriptco offers free shipping on 4 orders for a year, with annual membership and 1 free shipment with a quarterly membership. Shipping will take 1 to 5 business days. Any additional scripts will set you back $6 delivery per shipment. And medications that require refrigeration, like insulin, expect you to pay for overnight shipping and handling, which at HealthWarehouse.com, example, will run you $29.95. At Script Company, expect to pay $40. Bottom line, shipping time may not be a big deal if you don't have a prescription that needs the right way, or that require special handling. But the price of shipping could eat into your savings and can make the drug even more expensive than you bought it at a local pharmacy. Smart online shopping moves. There are good reasons to have a relationship with a flesh and blood pharmacist who knows the medications you take. Well, all of the online pharmacists we spoke to with said they would precautions before filling a prescription. There are some safety steps that you can take, too. Sorry about that. Supply information about all your pills. Traditional pharmacists have access to your insurance and medication records, so they can spot potentially dangerous interactions with the prescribed medications. But it's harder for an online pharmacist that don't take insurance. Instead, they typically ask you to tell them what you take. It's up to you to provide all the details of everything you use, says Stephen Schaldemeyer, a professor of pharmaceutical care and health systems at the University of Minnesota. That includes all prescription and over-the-counter drugs, as well as any vitamins and dietary supplements you take. Find out how to contact a pharmacist online. All the online pharmacies we looked at allow you to contact a pharmacist by some combination of phone, email, chat, or video chat. But don't wait for an emergency to figure out which method works best for you. Reach out whenever you're uncertain about how or when to take a drug, or even if you should take it at all. Pharmacists are available 24/7 at Amazon and Mark Cuban Cost Plus Drug Company. The others typically make their pharmacists available during their regular business hours. For complicated drug regimens, stick with a walk-in pharmacy. If you take multiple medications, follow a complicated dosing schedule, or take drugs that require an unusual formulation, considering stick with a single walk-in pharmacy, says Doug Hoey, PharmD, CEO of the National Community of Pharmacists Association. That's because the risk of errors taking medications at the wrong time or in the wrong amount, or forgetting a dose, goes up when you take multiple meds. Getting your drugs from a single pharmacy is also important if you take meds that are known to interact with each other. And here's an online pharmacy price guide. We shop for a month's supply, 30 tablets of 5 common generic drugs in February and March 2022. Here's what we found. And let's run down first. We're doing Amacy.com, Costco, Cost Plus, Genius Rx, Health Warehouse, Honeybee, Oroco, and ScriptCom. And the first question is, does it ship to all states? Amazon does not ship to Hawaii. Costco ships everywhere. Cost Plus, for some reason, does not ship to North Carolina. Can't figure that out. Genius Rx does not ship to Alabama. Health Warehouse ships to everybody. Honeybee Health does not ship to Alabama, Indiana, Louisiana, Montana, or Oregon. Roco Pharmacy, no, not 13 states. Go to the website for details. And ScriptCo, no, not to Alabama, Montana, Tennessee, or North Carolina. I wonder which one with North Carolina. Anyway, here's some different drugs. Atorvastatin, 20 grams for high cholesterol, $14.60 at Amazon. Costco is $13.99. Cost Plus is $3.90, but you can't get it in North Carolina. Genius Rx is $4.50. Health Warehouse is $9.90. Honeybee Health is $3. Roco is $9.90. And ScriptCo is 54 cents. Select Cohixix, this is for pain, is 200 milligrams. Amazon is $17. Costco is $8. CostPlug is $6.30. Genius is $6. Health Warehouse is $16.50. Honeybee Health is $6. Roco is $10.74. And ScriptCo is $1.44. And once again, Costco, Cost Plus drugs, and Honey and Roco Pharmacy, and ScriptCo do not ship to North Carolina. Duloxetine, 20 milligrams for depression. Amazon is $14.90. Costco is $8.99. Cost Plus is $4.20, but not North Carolina. Genius Rx is $3.60. Health Warehouse is $12. Honeybee Health is $4. Roco is $10.74, and ScriptCo, which is dot shipped to North Carolina, is $1.50. Clopidogrel, 75 milligrams for blood clots. Amazon $12.80, Costco $6.79, Cost Plus $5.70, Genius Rx $2.40, Health Warehouse $9.80, Honeybee Health $4, Roco $10.29, ScriptCo $1.38. Plogetazone, 30 milligram for diabetes. $60.74 at Amazon, $13.70 at Costco. That's interesting. Big difference. Cost Plus does not handle it. Genius is $8.10. Where Health Warehouse is $15. Honeybee Health is $8. Roco Pharmacy is $12. Scripco is $4.33. And Amazon has a wide selection of generic and branded drugs and offers pre-sorted pills packed in daily bundles. That's nice, accepts insurance. Costco has a wide selection of generic and branded drugs. Non-members can use in-store pharmacies and accepts insurance. Cost Plus plans to make its own generic drugs, which could lower prices even more. Genius Rx's prescriptions for pets are available. That's interesting. Health Warehouse has a wide selection of generic and branded drugs and can select specific generic drug manufacturers if you desire. Honeybee Health can select specific generic drug manufacturers as well. Roco Pharmacy has 12-month refills available. And Scriptco.com is household membership coming in 2022. Five more ways to save on prescription drugs. Online pharmacies aren't the only way to get rock-bottom prices. These strategies will also help you save. Use Good Rx coupons at a walk-in pharmacy. These free coupons, available at GoodRx.com or via the GoodRx app, can save you 80% off the list price of generic drugs at certain pharmacies. For savings, consider joining the GoodRx Gold program, which gives you access to more than 1,000 meds for less than $10 per prescription. An individual membership is $9.99 a month. For $19.99 a month, you can add 5 family, friends, or even pet members. Bonus, primary Gold account holders also get telehealth doctor visits for as little as $19. Number 2, check out discount programs at Walgreens and Walmart. Sign up for the Walgreens Prescription Savings Club program lets you fill prescriptions for hundreds of generic drugs for $7.50, $10, or $15 for a 30-day supply, or $15, $20, or $30 for a 90-day supply. No insurance needed. The membership costs $20 a year for an individual or $35 for a family. Walmart's free prescription program makes dozens of drugs available for just $4 for a month supply or $10 for a 90-day supply. Bonus, supermarkets like Kroger, HEB, and others offer discounted generic drug programs. Check those in your area for details. Number 3, look for generic drug offers by insurance. If you have an Aetna health insurance plan, for example, you can use the Aetna Rx discount pharmacy card at participating pharmacies in the insurer's network to get preferred rates. Call the number on the back of your insurance card to find a pharmacy near you. Or if your drug coverage is through CVS Caremark, you can get discounts on several dozen select generics, although only if you fill the prescription at a CVS pharmacy or through CVS.com. Number 4. Search for copay coupons or patient's assistant programs. Getting a discount on the cash price of a branded drug is a little trickier than for a generic, but it's still possible. Drug makers offer copay discount programs if you sign up, but only if you have insurance. For people whose income meets certain thresholds, a drug company's assistant program may supply drugs free, even to some people without insurance. You'll find manufacturer discount programs for branded drugs at GoodRx.com or on the app. Bonus, check out NeedyMeds.org for free assistance with finding and filing the paperwork for many manufacturer drug programs. Number 5, ask your local drugstore for a discount. Unlike chain pharmacies, which have set cash prices, your community pharmacy may have more leeway with pricing medications, says Doug Hoey, PharmD and CEO of the National Community of Pharmacists Association, and Brandy Letson, PharmD, owner of Cashiers Valley Pharmacy in Cashiers, North Carolina, says your local independent pharmacies can sometimes meet or even beat low prices at a chain or online pharmacy, but you have to ask. Okay, on a totally different subject. Goodbye, mess. Quick ways to organize your stuff. Take control of your home's trickiest trouble zones in a day or less with these easy expert solutions. Perfect for spring cleaning time, right? Always ask yourself, am I keeping an item from my life as is right now, or a fantasy version of myself? Organize for the person you are, only to need the stuff you're actually going to use. Kay Patterson, the Organized Soprano. Almost no one is immune to clutter, whether it's stacks of paperwork, out-of-control collection of herbs and spices, tangles of tech cables and cords, or simply a corner of your home that's gradually being taken over by too much junk. I got one of those. But order can be yours. Following are 7 common challenges, many of them suggested by CR's members, that you can return to shipshape in a day or less. These bite-sized jobs will help you avoid familiar problems, taking on a huge decluttering task and giving it up before you successfully tamed it. According to the pros we spoke to, the same basic method applies to any space you're organizing. The first step is always review what you have and decide what you no longer need, use, or love, says Carrie Prince, certified professional organizer and a board member of the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals, NAPO. Then edit ruthlessly. Remove anything you haven't touched in about a year. Trash what is not useful to anyone, and make plans to sell or donate the rest. Things you need to keep should go back to an accessible spot. Lesser used items can be tucked slightly more out of the way, or on a top shelf, say, or in the back of a closet, in a garage, attic, or another area. Use any bins, baskets, or dividers you already have before spending on new ones. But if you do need to buy something new, be sure to measure it, the things you plan to stow inside it, and the space you organize to make sure everything will fit. Ready? Prepare to experience extreme clutter-busting satisfaction, one square foot at a time. Paperwork piles. Oh, I got some of these. 1 hour per file drawer's worth of material. Filing cabinet for boxes, fire safe and folder. These are what you need. Simplify, keep, or toss. Set firm rules. Be very clear of what you need to save and why. If you aren't sure, consult a professional like your CPA or banker, says Lucy Milligan. Founder of LMW Edits. Anything from before a certain year or pertaining to accounts no longer hold should automatically be shredded. Divide to conquer. For documents you plan to keep, the fastest way to organize them is to make three categories, says Caitlin Roberts, or minimize with purpose. Place pending items, invitations, bills to pay, in a folder on your desk. Divide temporary storage into two folders, one with current paperwork you need to hang on to for a year or less, warranties, outstanding refunds or claims, this year's tax documents, and another containing 7 years' worth of tax returns. Keep permanent storage, identification documents, home purchase records, titles and deeds, in a file drawer or fire safe folder. Find a system you'll actually use. A good old-fashioned filing system works really well, Wall says. When labeling folders, think about how you would personally search each for the contents when you need them. This is why a folder labeled miscellaneous is a terrible idea. You're never going to look for a home inspection report from 5 years ago in there. Top organizing products for paperwork piles are Doc Fortress Fireproof and Water-Resistant Storage Bag for $30. Brother P-Touch Pro Label Maker for $57. Overflowing Freezer, time 1 hour. Wire freezer baskets, stackable clear storage containers, and a permanent marker might be needed. Take inventory. Empty the freezer and throw away expired foods and categorize what's left by type. Fruits, veggies, meat, desserts, pizza, etc. Suggest a millimeter of apple shine, organization, and design. Reshelve strategically. Put each category back into the freezer compartments or use shelves based on how often you consume it, taking the size of the items into account. Put things you use regularly, such as frozen veggies or pizza, where you can access them quickly. Less used items, extra bread or cuts of meat, don't need to be as handy. Repackage to condense. Loss of packages is bigger than necessary, says Mina, who takes individually wrapped frozen foods, peaches, sandwiches out of their boxes, writes reheating instructions directly onto the plastic with a permanent marker, and puts it into grab-and-go freezer bins. She also combines the contents of multiple boxes. Two boxes of chicken nuggets can likely be opened and repacked into just one, and uses freezer-safe zip-sealed bags to store leftovers. Label and deed each bag. Lay it flat to freeze, then stand each one upright to store. Use bins and baskets. For a chest freezer, place stackable clear storage containers labeled on top along the bottom. On the top of those, put easy-to-lift freezer storage baskets so that you can easily look through the category, Mina says. Kitchen dumping zones. 30 to 90 minutes. Repeat twice a year as needed. Drawer inserts are important. Create a utility drawer. Got a kitchen junk drawer? You shove odds and ends to when you can't find a place for them? Rethink that habit, says Wall, and rename that catch-all the utility drawer. Only place items in that you have a useful purpose, like a tape measure, scissors, and tools, like pliers and a hammer. Use drawer inserts to order the drawer, keeping often used items such as paper, pens, rubber bands near the front. Declutter counters. Kitchen surfaces are meant for food prep, cleaning, eating, not to hold mail. Your purse or keys. In spots where non-culinary items pass up, ask yourself, do I need these things and what do they belong in the kitchen? Creating new habits, like putting the mail into a sorter and your purse in the hall closet, works better than any product you can buy, says Jeffrey Phillip of Jeffrey Phillip Organization and Design. Organizing isn't about keeping everything neat. It's about knowing what you own and how to find it when you need it. Deciding where everything goes and putting it back there consistently is the key to getting and staying organized. From Sharon Lowenheim for Organizing Goddess. And jumble up herbs and spices. Take stock. If you keep herbs and spices in a cabinet, consider a turntable, two levels so you can fit it, or a tiered shelf so that everything is visible. If the spice jars live in a drawer, or try a spice liner roll, an in-drawer spice rack, an expandable organizer, all of which you see the bottles clearly. Units are so common now that you can choose one that match your decor, from clear acrylic to stainless steel. Choose your own order, soft herbs and spices in a way that work for you. Divide types of herb spices, one example, savory, sweet, baking, salts, peppers, and seasonal. Separate herbs from spices or loosely alphabetize them all. Make a matching set. Decanting spices into matching jars makes for a beautiful, consistent spice cabinet, which will bring you joy each time you cook, says Prince, founder of Carrie Prince Organizing. If you're really feeling from bigger jars that have leftovers, stash those jars into a nearby cabinet on a two-level Lazy Susan, says Kay Patterson of the Organizing Soprano. Ground herbs and spices may last up to 4 years before losing their punch. To keep track of freshness, Patterson recommends placing an erasable label on the bottom of the jar with a best-by date. Then when you refill your container, erase the old date and write down a new one. And for overflowing freezers, you can lock in Easy Essentials 22-piece food storage container at $35 at HomeDepot.com. And Design Ideas freezer storage baggage from $9 at thecontainerstore.com. Kitchen dumping zones, one design leanest shower drawer organizers from $4.49 at containerstore.com. Sounds like the Container Store is the place to go. Jumble up herbs and spices, two-tier bamboo Lazy Susan for $22. Expand a shelf, $12. And your Copia 10-foot spice liner roll for $17. All of those at the Container Store. A couple of silly jokes to close out. What do you get with a telescope bangs into a microscope? A kaleidoscope. Me arriving late to things. Sorry, supply chain problems. Quotable quotes. I didn't want to be something cool. I didn't want to be calm. I wanted to be a player that made you say, "Did you see that?" Kevin Garnett, basketball player. I look at fear not as cowardice, but as a call forward, a summons to fight for what we hold dear. Amanda Gorman, a poet. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.